I'm sorry.
The question was that you said there were many ways of talking to God. Is there texting?
Is there texting? That's a good question. I mean, I use Ellington's quote a lot. Everyone prays in their own language, and there is no language God does not understand. So I think God can handle any kind of language. No, I just found that the prayer is spoken to me powerfully. I find it a very, very easy prayer, a good prayer, in the sense that it's simple. It's easy to remember. And when I got into it more, I realized that it had this dimension, because there are things that I need to accept and things I have an opportunity to change. And the wisdom. So I don't know anyone, I don't know more than just what I've read about it and what I've used myself. Mm-hmm. I think as we get older, life gets somehow smaller and simpler. And the things that we used to worry about before don't worry, we can't, or they just don't make any sense to worry about. I remember Archbishop Lewis Garnsworthy talking before he died about how he believed fewer things but more strongly. There were fewer things that he really hung on to, but they were much clearer and stronger. We've been blessed with the arrival of grandchildren, and having four children and going through those experiences now, to realize that all of us came out of our mother's womb. All of us were nurtured and cared for in a world, and if we could say to us or to any baby, there's another world out there. You just have to go through this, to this other world. Being warm and cozy and hooked up to Mother Nature through your mother, I mean, who would want to, you know, it's cold out here. But this world, so I part of my image for the next world is we have no idea. We have glimpses as a baby in the womb does. And I think we begin to think about that bigger picture.
In my old age, I am figuring out how to use the microphone. I figured it out. Did you have a question? Somebody over here had a question.
I'm sharing something. I happen to like poetry very much, and I think poetry can say things that other disciplines can't. But one particular sentence that I read in Shakespeare's Measure for Measure that I've never forgotten, and it's with me almost every day, and it's this, that our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we often might win by fearing to attempt.
Ooh, ooh. Can you say that again? Just say it once more.
Our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we often might win by fearing to attempt.
Thank you.
It's also really good to learn things by heart.
Thank you. I was thinking a bit about how those of us who are getting older look to those who are younger. And I just had a conversation with my son. I frequently have conversations with my sons, and I'm grateful for that. But one of the things is, I think sometimes it'd be a really great gift if people could give this to their families, is to be grateful for who their children are. I think that would be one of the biggest gifts. And I've seen so many people who not enjoy their older years because their children, not them, didn't work out the way they wanted them to.
Mm-hmm. More questions?
I was grateful, Father, for remembering Archbishop Finlay. I remember the story he tells when he became bishop in this cathedral, and all the members of the different parishes that he had been parish priest were in the cathedral. He had balloons. He wanted the whole place to look alive. And waiting up in the sanctuary was the old archbishop, Archbishop Garnsworthy, who had done a lot of years of leadership and sounded to me like he was happy to pass on the burden. And Terry describes the whole feeling of walking up the aisle and the sense of wonder and joy that this is happening. And he got up and Lewis Garnsworthy put both his hands on his shoulder and said, "Enjoy this moment, Bishop. It's all downhill from here." So with that in mind, what about an aspect that you were moving around in, but it's in age, you hear this funny story, it takes courage to be old. Well, we're all of us of a certain age are starting to discover it in terms of the physical decline. I was very moved by what you said about staying young up here as you can, although sometimes it's hard. You're starting to forget things. Names flee faster. You know Billy Collins' poem about forgetfulness, that the name of the novel is the first to go, and then the list of characters one by one down some mythological river that begins, I think, with the letter L, and it just goes on like that. Can you talk a bit about the courage needed also, in addition to serenity?
Mm-hmm. You want me to talk about that for a minute? Yeah. It's one of those, on the one hand, on the other sort of things. Reminds me of, one has to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. And one of those is the decline of health, physical health, and the challenges. I have a three-ring binder for my medical stuff. You know, as you get older, I have several doctors' phone numbers in my speed dial. I mean, it's one of those things that begins to happen. And I have seen people give in. I remember one, I was visiting in the hospital one day and two people were having the same operation, a man and a woman, not related to each other, but just both members of the parish. And I went in to see one. And the guy said, "Well, if I get through it, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be in recovery and there's going to be this tube here and this tube here." And he had the whole thing worked out. And he said, "And if I wake up and there are no tubes, it means it didn't work, but that's okay." And he was very philosophical about it, you know, kind of these are the things you cannot change. I mean, it's out of your hands, letting go. I went to the next room, same operation, different person, and I said to him, "What, you know, do you know what they're going to do? What's going to happen?" He said, "I have no idea." Now, I judged the first person better than the other person because he'd asked all the information. Maybe the other guy's strategy was his way of coping. I don't know. I think we all have our way of coping with challenges physically and what it means and adjusting and adapting and... But we have good role models. There are lots of wonderful people who are living with all kinds of challenges. And the fact that something may change physically, I mean, we certainly know through people who live with disabilities that that's not their personhood. And so part of the aging, I think, physically is accepting that this is inevitable and doing our best with what we've got. And being grateful that we have good health care and good opportunities. And we're very resilient beings, actually. We're very resilient beings, and we can survive a lot. Anyway, that's off the top of my head, which, as you can see, is not a fertile area.
I'd like to thank you for a really interesting talk. I rather wish my 92-year-old mother had been here, and I will try to remember some of the points to tell her. Last week we talked about mental health, my mother's mental health is not perhaps all it could be, and I struggle with what to say to her and how to relate to her. Her memory is full of holes. She doesn't have dementia, but she doesn't really remember anything, and you have the same conversation over and over with her. I don't know what to say to her sometimes. I just wondered if you had any ideas because she's unhappy, she's lonely, and she can't remember anything.
So what's the one thing you might like to say to her? What's one, I think at a certain age, it's like children again. You give the child one message.
Well, I mean, I would love to be able to remind her of the blessings of her life because they are many. She has her health, her physical health. She's comfortable. She's in a kind and caring place. She has family, but she always looks on the negative side.
But then I would want to say, you're still here. And then I would tell a joke. I know there was one fellow who had dementia, and when you went to see him, he couldn't remember even his own family, but somehow in his deeper self, he said, I don't know who you are, but I know you're here because you love me. Mm. And I think if a simple message of love, if that can get through the addled brain of confusion and it just isn't working like it used to, if there's one message that could get through, that's what I think we offer.
It's good to see you, Tim. I was, I'd asked a couple of people to come along, but one in particular who is struggling with addiction. And for the gentleman that asked about this prayer and whether it resonates with people or how important it is, hopefully you don't have friends or family that are struggling with addiction, but this prayer is life-saving. And a lot of people that have gone, you know, have gone to rehab, they say this prayer every day. They say it many times a day. And when they are really lost, they cling to this like a lifeline. And that's sometimes all you have. So I did want to bring somebody with me here tonight who was going into rehab in the morning. And I had no idea when you started and you talked about this, you know. It really, really resonates because addiction is very difficult. Most people don't make it. 30% of the people that go to programs actually are successful. So whatever works, and if this is the prayer that works, that has power and serenity and grace. Mm-hmm. So thanks for bringing that to people's attention.
I was thinking of two things. One, Tim, was a sign that we could put out in front of the cathedral. If you step inside, you'll likely live 7 years longer. I think that's great advertising, actually. The other is, for years I did age group swimming. What's it called? Master swimming. Thank you. And one of the things about master swimming is that it takes you where you are at whatever age you are. And I remember a fellow by the name, his last name was Timmerman. And he started his swimming career when he was 84. And he was at a swim meet. It was the Nationals meet some years ago now. He was 99 years old. And he was the only person in his age group. And if he just finished the race, he would break the world record. And it was one of the most beautiful things, actually, was to see this fellow get to the edge of the pool. He didn't start on the blocks, but he didn't start in the water either. He chose to dive from the side of the pool, and he needed help from his nephew. And his nephew brought him up to the edge of the pool and just held him there. But the starter had rules. He had to let him go in order to start legally. And you could just see the two of them crouching like this and the nephew holding his great uncle and then sort of let go as the starter hit the gun. And he was off. I have never seen a crowd cheer on one person swimming one length that took forever. It was like everybody was going, go, go, go. And he broke the world record. And people cheered because I think you can see yourself, you hope that you can see yourself get to 99 years old and say, I hope that's me someday. I don't care what I look like. But if I have a crowd cheering me on in the same way, getting to your golden, golden, golden years, doing what you really want to do, what a wonderful gift that is. And Tim, you've been a great gift for us tonight. Thank you for all that you've offered. And would you like to lead us?
Why don't we stand as we're able? I'm grateful for many blessings today, thinking back on the day and all that it has been, and all the gifts that we have received. Let us close as we pray together. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things that ought to be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Amen.